Beaumont had insisted on riding into town to see Kay, and not surprisingly, Rawlings and Callie wanted to come with him. Coburn rode along, too. They heard the commotion before they reached the downtown area.
I don't much like the sound of that. I've heard such things before. Sounds like the citizens are working themselves up for a necktie party.
Know the sound of a lynch mob, do ya?
The places I've been, it was a pretty common occurrence.
They rode on hurriedly, and as they approached the jail, Beaumont saw the crowd in front of the big sandstone building. It reminded him of the confrontation that had taken place there a little over a week earlier, the morning after Skeet Harlan had shot Kane.
That's a lynch mob if I've ever seen one.
We'll put a stop to that! Nobody's lynching Kane while I'm around. Are you in, Coburn?
Yeah, I'll take a hand in the game.
Several dozen angry, shouting men formed a knot in the street in front of the jail. Sheriff Wilmot, Marshal Keever, Skeet Harlan, and several of the sheriff's deputies stood just outside the door, confronting them.
Quiet down! Everybody get back to your homes! Damn it, what do you folks think you're doing? Go on home!
We've come for Chris Kane! He's a murderer!
Kane didn't kill nobody!
He shot Dave Osmond!
Osmond ain't dead. Last I heard, he was doing fine. And Kane didn't shoot him in the first place.
You don't know that! He's a rustler and a fence cutter! String him up! String him up! String him up! String him up!
There's not gonna be any lynching!
Oh, damn.
Steady.
Tyler brought his Winchester to bear, too, and Callie drew the revolver on her hip.
Blasted Rawlings, I'm in charge here. Put up those guns!
Like hell! We've got these bloodthirsty bastards in a crossfire now, Sheriff. They won't dare try anything.
There's another one of them. They're all rustlers.
We'll string up Rawlings, too!
The atmosphere was plenty tense, and a gun battle could break out at any moment. The only one in Beaumont's group who seemed at ease was Flint Coburn, and Beaumont knew why. At this moment, Coburn reminded him a great deal of Frank Morgan. The supreme confidence that bordered on arrogance, the fatalism that gave him such a cool, calm demeanor, those were marks of the true professional Coltman.
Wait a minute. I recognize that hombre with him. That's Flint Coburn. He's a hired gun, a killer.
That's right. And he's on our side now. Dugan and his bunch of Frank Morgan, and now we've got Coburn.
Frank Morgan, eh? Didn't know he was in these parts.
Morgan rides for Dugan / D now. Does that make a difference, Coburn?
No difference. Just makes things a mite more interesting, that's all.
Then things are about to get really interesting because here comes Morgan now.
The sound of angry voices reached Frank's ears before he got to the jail. When he rounded a corner and saw the crowd in front of the building, he knew right away what was going on. The fire that had been banked for the past week was on the verge of blazing up again.
Here comes another hired gun! Frank Morgan's just another paid murderer!
He heard someone shout his name and knew he had been spotted. He didn't slow down or turn aside, but just kept riding deliberately toward the mob. His keen eyes took in the whole scene. He spotted Al Rawlings and Callie Stratton at the rear of the crowd, along with one man Frank didn't know, and Tyler Beaumont, who once again seemed to have found himself in the thick of things.
Afternoon. There a prayer meeting going on?
Chris Kane's the one who better be praying. He's about to meet his maker.
I heard Kane was doing better.
These fellas plan on taking him out of the jail and stringing him up.
And we're not gonna let that happen.
Damn it, none of you are in charge. Here I am. And I say there ain't gonna be no lynching. Now, all of you scatter before I arrest the lot of you.
No one paid any attention to him. Tempers were too high for anyone in the mob to be afraid of the law.
Where do you stand on this, Morgan? I figure your boss would like to see Kane swing.
Mr. Dugan's not here, and I never believed in lynch law.
You mean you're on our side now?
I still ride for the / D. Make no mistake about that. But I don't want to see these folks take the law into their own hands because I know they'll regret it later.
Something was familiar about the other man with Rawlings' bunch.
Do I know you, friend?
We've never met. But we travel in some of the same circles, Morgan. My name's Flint Coburn.
Frank's mouth tightened just slightly. He knew that name, all right. Coburn was a fast gun, a veteran of numerous range wars and other conflicts, and he had a reputation for ruthlessness.
You're no rancher. What are you doing with Rawlins?
He's thrown in with us.
Frank sensed a warning in the young ranger's words. Beaumont didn't want a showdown here in the middle of the street. Neither did Frank, for that matter.
Morgan! You killed some friends of ours over in Santa Fe last year. We aim to settle the score for them.
I haven't been to Santa Fe for a while. You got me mixed up with somebody else.
The hell we do! It was you, all right! And now you're gonna die for it!
Here now, you men back off! Break it up, damn it! Break it up!
The crowd began to disperse a little, all right. But not because of anything the angry lawman said. They were getting out of the line of fire.
Get down off that horse and draw, Morgan, or we'll blast her right out of the saddle.
Hold on. This is a good horse. Wouldn't want him getting hurt.
Frank swung down from the saddle and motioned Beaumont back over. He handed the Appaloosa's reins to the young ranger.
Appreciate it if you'd take Stormy out of the way, Ty.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Beaumont led Stormy to the other side of the street. Sheriff Wilmot gave up on getting anybody to listen to him and motioned for his deputies to go back into the jail. Marshal Keever went inside too, but Skeet Harlan stayed in the doorway so that he could watch. Anticipation shone in his watery eyes.
All right, Morgan. Hook and draw anytime you're ready.
This is your fight. It's up to you to start the ball.
Glowering at him, the two men edged farther apart. That was a good move and would make it more difficult for Frank to drop both of them before one of them had a chance to get hit. At least, that was the idea.
Oh, my God! You killed me!
It was your idea.
It was a fair fight, and they went for their guns first. Nobody's gonna arrest you, Morgan. But I wish you'd stay the hell out of town from now on.
That goes for me, too. You're not welcome in Brownwood.
This trouble wasn't my doing.
It found you all the same. If you hadn't been here, it wouldn't have happened.
So you're telling me to get out of town?
That's right, Morgan.
I thought maybe you'd let me talk to Chris Kane.
Not hardly.
Frank saw that the sheriff wasn't going to budge. He turned away and looked for Beaumont, thinking that he would reclaim Stormy's reins and ride out.
The rest of you people go home now. There's been enough killing for one day.
If nothing else, the sudden outbreak of violence seemed to have diffused the emotions that had gripped everyone earlier. Some of the men glanced at each other in something resembling embarrassment as they headed back to their businesses and homes.
I heard what the sheriff said about this being your fault because you were here, Frank. I can see now that's not fair. I reckon I understand.
Rawlings was coming up behind Beaumont, and since Frank didn't want Rawlings to overhear what his young friend was saying...
Thanks for holding my horse, Ty.
Then he turned away before Beaumont could say anything else. They could talk about it more the next time they met at the cave on Blanket Creek. A short time later, Rawlings and Coburn stood at the bar in the palace and nursed beers.
So that was Frank Morgan.
Yeah. You gotta see how fast he is for yourself. Ain't gonna make any difference?
You meaning whether I stand with you and the others? Morgan's fast, but so am I.
Which one of you's faster?
Maybe we'll find out one of these days.
I thought for sure there was gonna be a big fight out there today.
So did I. And we were outnumbered. Of course, we've got a hired gun on our side now.
Coburn's only one man. He couldn't have stood up to that whole mob.
You don't like him, do you?
He rides up out of nowhere, admits he's a gunslinger, and says he wants to side with us in our fight with the big ranchers. Doesn't that sound a least bit suspicious to you?
Maybe. But it could be just the way Coburn says it is.
Yeah. I'd still keep an eye on him if it was me.
I plan to.
Inwardly, Callie thought that while Coburn and Frank Morgan were in the same line of work, they weren't the same sort of man. There was something about Morgan that was different. The front door of the saloon opened, and Skeet Harlan came in. Harlan ambled toward the bar. He stopped beside Rawlings and Coburn and gave them what was intended to be a pleasant nod. It didn't look all that pleasant, though. Beaumont strained, trying to hear the conversation.
I went back to the office and looked through all the reward dodgers, Coburn.
You didn't find me on any of them, did you? I'm not wanted by the law, deputy.
You mean you're not wanted, period.
I'm not looking for trouble.
Good. Stay that way.
For a second, Beaumont thought Coburn was going to reach for his gun. The look that passed across Coburn's face was one of sheer hatred and viciousness. But the gun thrower controlled himself and turned back to the bar.
Another drink, damn it.
Ace McElvey came out of his office and noticed Harlan standing there.
Deputy, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure. You got a problem, McElvey?
Let's go in the office. Rusty, bring me a bottle and a couple of glasses.
I wonder what that's about.
Not unusual for a saloon owner to butter up a deputy with a bottle, is there, Ty?
I guess not.
But Frank Morgan was convinced there was more going on in Brownwood than was apparent on the surface. And Beaumont found himself wondering if there was some connection he didn't know about between McElvey and Harlan.
I had the door open enough to see what was going on. You should go on the stage, Skeet. Anybody watching must have thought that you and Flint hate each other and wanted to draw. That was quite a fine job of acting.
Yeah, it wasn't all acting. I could tell Coburn thinks he's faster than me. I'd like to see him try to prove it sometime.
Now, don't get too carried away. We're all on the same side, remember?
I don't see why we had to bring Coburn in before it was time to loot the town.
Because we needed something else to tip the balance into open war. We've been working behind the scenes for weeks now, trying to push the two factions into fighting. Other than a few little skirmishes, we haven't accomplished a damn thing. Now, with a famous gunman on each side, there's bound to be bigger trouble.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It still doesn't mean I have to like Coburn.
Just be patient. The fuse is short now. Won't be long until the explosion.
I hope you're right. And when it blows, it better be a damn big one.
Tyler Beaumont was the last to arrive at the hastily called meeting of small ranchers at the Rawlings spread. The meeting was big enough so that it had to be held in the barn rather than in the house. Several lanterns hung from nails around the inside of the barn, casting a flickering yellow glow over the two dozen or so men who were gathered there. Callie Stratton was the only woman in sight. Al Rawlings climbed up on a bale of hay and raised his hands to call for quiet.
Hey, settle down, damn it!
An uneasy hush fell over the crowd, broken only by a few muttered comments. Even though Rawlings had assumed a leadership role in the effort to defy the big ranchers, not everybody in this group liked him all that much, especially among the farmers. It was unusual to see homesteaders and ranchers working together in the first place, but everything in the situation in Brown County seemed to be turned topsy-turvy from the usual state of affairs on the frontier. Barbed wire had made allies of men who normally would have despised each other.
Right, that's better. Now, settle down now, because we gotta decide what to do.
About Chris Kane, you mean?
That's right. As most of you know, the Brown County Grand Jury indicted Kane on charges of attempted murder, drawing his gun on Skeet Harlan, and destruction of private property, cutting the Slash D fence.
That one'll be tough to prove, since Dugan's fence never got cut.
Well, that's right. But the first charge is a matter of Kane's word against Skeet Harlan, and I think we all know what he'll say.
Right. He'll say that Kane was looking for a fight and drew first.
Well, what can we do? The sheriff's got him locked up, and he's been indicted. He'll have to stand trial.
And be sent to prison for something he didn't do?
Well, we can't just ride into Brownwood and take him out of the jail now, can we?
If there's enough of us, we can.
Hold on! Look, I don't like the idea of leaving Kane in jail either, but if we try to break him out, there'll be a lot of shooting, and some of us will get killed.
More muttering came from the crowd, especially among the farmers who were clustered together. They weren't gunmen. They might fight for their own land, but it would be difficult to meld them into any sort of force that could take the battle to the big ranchers.
Look, now, I've been thinking about it, and what we have to do is give Dugan and the others something else to worry about. They're the ones who'll be pressing for Kane to stand trial, and if they've got other things on their mind, maybe they won't get around to it for a while. That would give us time to find him a lawyer and maybe get the case moved out of Brown County.
Beaumont frowned slightly. With that talk of a lawyer and a change of venue, Rawlings was actually making some sense for a change. He wondered if Callie had come up with that.
I think what we have to do is spread out all over the county and cut every damn fence we can find. It's a new moon tomorrow night. It'll be mighty dark, and if we all make our move at the same time, the cattle barons won't be able to stop us.
Won't that just make them mad and even more determined to put Kane on trial?
Kane can't be blamed for cutting the fences. He's locked up in jail.
But they could decide to make an example of him.
No more so than they already have. Look, anybody who wants out can leave. But don't come crying to the rest of us for help later on.
Beaumont could tell that the crowd was divided. All the ranchers and some of the farmers seemed to be in favor of a massive fence-cutting effort, but the rest of the farmers were worried about the consequences of such an act.
Miss Callie, what do you think about all this?
I think it might be enough to convince the big ranchers that they can't fight us. We're going to win sooner or later. At the very least, they'll be distracted from their vendetta against Chris.
Well, I think it's a bad idea.
You don't have any stake in this, cowboy.
You're my friends, and I don't want to see anybody else hurt. Dugan and the others are liable to send their crews after you. They might even try to burn some of you out.
I'd like to see them try it. If they want a war, we'll give them a war, by God!
That was just the sort of talk Beaumont didn't want to hear. But he couldn't continue to argue too strenuously against the idea without running the risk of arousing the ire and the suspicion of Rawlings and the others.
All right, if that's the way you all feel, I'll go along with it.
But already his mind was working, trying to come up with some way to stop this madness in its tracks. After listening intently to Beaumont's report on the ranchers' meeting, Frank Morgan was doubtful that any plan would stop the inevitable at this point.
I don't know of any way to stop it, not without getting a lot of people hurt or killed.
What if you tell Dugan what Rawlings and the rest of them are planning to do? They could increase the patrols along their fence lines. Maybe once Rawlings and the others see that the ranchers are ready for them, they'll back off.
More than likely, Dugan will order his men to shoot first as soon as they saw anybody moving around. I expect the other big ranchers to do the same thing.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, the best thing might be to let Rawlings and his friends cut those fences. Maybe Miss Stratton's right. If every fence in the county is cut, maybe the ranchers will see that they can't win this fight. Not in the long run.
You really think they can't?
You know, there's a lot of electric street lights in cities back east now. There are telephones in a lot of places, including right here in Brown County. There'll probably be electricity here before too many more years go by.
Well, yeah, maybe, but what's your point, Frank?
The West, the way it was, is just about gone. Cattle barons like Earl Dugan are relics. I hate to say it, but so am I.
Not hardly.
Oh, I don't mind all that much being a relic. Better than being completely extinct, I reckon. But the days of the big cattle spreads are numbered, no matter what happens here. The small ranchers and the farmers will embrace the use of barbed wire like they have in other places, and they'll take over. It's as sure as the sun coming up in the morning.
I'm surprised the idea doesn't bother you more.
I never said it doesn't bother me, but I don't argue with the sun and tell it that it can't rise either.
Well, that's all well and good, but what do we do about Rawlings and his plans?
Can't talk him out of it?
Not a chance in hell.
Let it go, then. We'll see what happens.
I was afraid you'd say that. What about Chris Kane?
I've been thinking about that. Rawlings has got the right idea for a change. Kane needs a good lawyer who can get the case moved to another county. If that happens, I'd say he stands a good chance of beating the charges, or even getting them dismissed before the case comes to trial.
I think it was Callie Stratton who came up with that idea.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I rode into town this afternoon and wired my lawyers in Denver. Got the name of the best lawyer in Fort Worth. He'll be on his way down here tomorrow.
Kane doesn't have the kind of money it takes to pay for that.
No, but I do. You give the fellow that paper when he gets here. It'll explain everything. Give him his orders.
You'd better hope Dugan doesn't get wind of this. He'll fire you faster than you can say Jack Robinson.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Let him.
The rest of that night and the next day passed quietly. Frank didn't have an inkling that something was wrong until that evening, when he noticed that Ed McDonald and most of the other ranch hands were not in the bunkhouse. There was nothing that unusual about their absence. Dugan had men patrolling his fence lines every night now, but too many of the crew were gone for that to account for it. Still, Frank didn't think too much about it, until he found that Dugan himself was gone.
Evening. Where's everybody gone, Wayne?
Not know what you mean, Mr. Morgan.
Dugan, McDonald, just about all the other hands aren't anywhere around. Something wrong?
Frank knew that this was the night Al Rawlings and his friends planned to cut all the fences in the county, but there was no way for Dugan to be aware of that. At least, not as far as Frank knew.
Nothing wrong, Mr. Morgan. Everything all fine.
Don't try that coolie talk on me, dammit. I know you speak English just as good as anybody around here, and better than most.
I'm sorry, Mr. Morgan. I've been sworn to secrecy. I'm afraid Mr. Dugan no longer trusts you.
Why the hell not? I haven't done anything to give him cause not to trust me.
Oh, I shouldn't tell you this. Mr. Dugan will never forgive me if he knows I betrayed his secret.
He won't hear it from me.
Mr. Dugan knows you've been meeting with that young man called Ty. He's afraid that you're double-crossing him.
Damn it.
Frank had no idea how Dugan had found out about his clandestine meetings with Beaumont, but that didn't matter now.
What's Dugan up to tonight?
Oh, I shouldn't tell you.
Listen to me, Wing. I know how it must look, but I give you my word I haven't betrayed Dugan. I want to stop the trouble around here from getting worse, that's all. If you know where Dugan and the rest of the crew have gone and what they plan to do, I need you to tell me so that I can keep folks from getting hurt.
Mr. Dugan found out somehow that the smaller ranchers plan to try cutting his fences again tonight. He said that when they do, they're going to be in for a really big surprise.
Which way did they head?
I heard him say something to Ed about Steps Creek. So I guess they're going out there again, where Chris Kane tried to cut the wire before.
Thanks, Wing. You did the right thing by telling me. I won't let Dugan know where I found out.
What are you going to do, Mr. Morgan?
Put a stop to it, I hope, before a lot of people get killed.
Frank had ridden over every foot of the Slash D, and his natural frontiersman's instincts ensured that he could find his way, even on a night like this one. Not only was there a new moon, but clouds had moved in during the late afternoon, obscuring even that feeble glow. Now, standing amid the trees that lined the stream, he peered intently into the darkness. He left Stormy and Wolf at the top of the hill so he could approach on foot, making sure that Dugan and the others wouldn't hear him coming, when something happened that made any sort of stealth utterly unnecessary. Frank was shocked by the blast and knocked to the ground. While the roar was still echoing over the rolling wooded hills, guns began to bang. As Frank raced back up the hill to where Stormy was, he saw spurts of muzzle flame here and there, briefly lighting the darkness like giant, deadly fireflies. Frank bounded into the saddle and heeled Stormy into a run that carried them toward the scene of battle.
Damn, it's too dark. I'm not gonna be able to see who I'm shooting at.
That wasn't stopping the other men. They blazed away at each other.
Yeah. Wolf, to me!
He knelt there with Wolf beside him, fallen leaves crackling underneath him as he watched the battle and tried to make some sense of it. Gradually, Frank began to understand what was going on. There were two groups of gunmen, one on each side of the fence, just as he would have expected. Slash D on one side, smaller ranchers on the other. What he still didn't know was what had caused the big explosion. Footsteps crashed into the trees behind him. He swung around, knowing that anybody on this side of the fence was likely a Slash D man.
Hold it.
Morgan?
Yeah. Is that you, Stiles?
You damn traitor!
Instinct made Frank dive to the side as the Colt in Warren's hand roared. Frank could have gunned down the tall, lanky puncher, but he didn't want any more killing tonight. Instead, he kicked out and swept Warren's legs out from under him and swung his gun. The barrel thudded into something, and Warren stretched out on the ground. Frank sprang to his feet as a sudden burst of barking and growling sounded nearby.
Call him off! Call him off!
Wolf! Wolf! Hold! Whoever you are, mister, you better stay put, or else he's liable to tear your throat out before I can stop him.
Morgan! Morgan! Have you gone crazy? Call off your dog!
First tell me what's going on here.
The shots continued, but they came less frequently now. The fight was dying down.
We set a trap for those damn fence cutters!
What kind of trap?
We rigged some dynamite with the friction trigger! Attached it to the wire! Hit it next to the fence! For God's sake, Morgan, get this dog away from me!
You mean you rigged the dynamite so it would go off when the wire was cut?
Yeah! It was the boss's idea, I swear! We didn't know the hombre would be standing almost right on top of it when it went off!
Beaumont. Frank had advised the young ranger to let Rawlings go through with his plan, even though it was dangerous. It was even possible that Beaumont had been the one to step up to the fence with a pair of wire cutters in his hand. One thing was certain. Whether the blast had killed Beaumont or not, it had surely killed someone. It had been too big, too powerful not to.
Back off, Wolf. Damn.
Frank hunkered down beside McDonald and pressed the barrel of his Colt under the foreman's chin, digging it in painfully.
You said the dynamite trap was Dugan's idea?
Yeah.
How did he know the fence was going to be cut tonight?
Somebody told him. One of the farmers, I think. He said Rollins got all his bunch together and planned to cut the fences all over the county tonight. That's all I know, I swear, Morgan.
So one of the men at the meeting sold them out?
Yeah, I guess so.
So you snuck out here and set up your trap, and when the blast went out, you opened fire on the men who weren't caught in the explosion. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, either pull that trigger or let me up, Morgan.
Not just yet. How come I wasn't told about any of this?
Because the boss knows you're a damn traitor. Stiles has been keeping an eye on that young fella, Ty. He saw the two of you getting together last night. You sold us out, Morgan.
Frank grimaced. He had made sure that no one followed him to the rendezvous with Beaumont, but obviously the young ranger hadn't been that careful. Frank didn't absolve himself completely from the blame either. He should have noticed that someone was tailing Beaumont.
I didn't sell anybody out. I was just trying to keep people from being killed.
Go to hell, Morgan!
You move a muscle, Morgan, and I'll send you there. I got a Winchester trained on you.
He's got a gun in my throat, boss.
Drop it, Morgan.
Well, let's think about that. Pretty dark out here, Dugan. Maybe I can spin and drop you before you get a decent shot at me.
Maybe.
But even though a part of Frank wanted to do that, he had told McDonald that he wanted to stop the killing, and he had meant it. He pulled the barrel of the peacemaker away from McDonald's throat and slid the gun back into leather. Then he stood up and turned to face Dugan.
All right, Dugan.
What about it, Ed?
I'm all right, boss. Morgan holstered his gun.
Better drop it, Morgan.
I don't think so. I've only got so much backup in me, Dugan. You do well to remember that.
What are you doing here?
I hope to get here in time to stop you from doing something damn foolish. I didn't make it.
We'll see how foolish it is once word gets around about one of those damn greasy-sack cowboys getting blown to bits when he tried to cut my fence. After tonight, none of those bastards will dare come anywhere near a decent man's fence.
You think fences are worth killing men over?
You're damn right I do! What's worth defending more than a man's home range?
Hey, boss! Some of them are still alive over here! What should we do?
Why don't you tell your men to kill the rest of them in cold blood? Murdering some helpless men isn't beneath you, is it, Dugan?
Shut the hell up! Ed, keep an eye on Morgan while I take a look over there.
Sure, boss.
I'm going with you.
Boss?
Let him come. Just watch him close, and ventilate him if he tries anything.
They made their way to the fence carefully. Several men were standing around in the rain between the fence and the trees along the creek. About 20 yards along the fence was a gaping hole where the explosion had gone off.
You blew up your own fence, Dugan. Sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Not hardly. The purpose was to teach those bastards to leave me and mine alone. You reckon they'll do it from now on?
Frank didn't answer that. He wasn't sure what the reaction would be to tonight's violence, but he was willing to bet it wouldn't work out as neatly as Dugan was obviously convinced it would. Dugan snapped a match into life with his thumbnail and shielded it from the rain with his other hand. He had tucked the Winchester under his arm. The glow from the match fell on the face of a young man who lay in the grass near the fence.
Bullet shattered his shoulder. Gotta be in a lot of pain.
One of Rawlins' bunch, all right. Name's Bert, something or other, I think. Get him on his feet. We'll take him back to the ranch, patch him up, and turn him over to the law tomorrow. Any more still alive?
Over here, boss!
Dugan lit another match and examined another wounded man, this one with a bullet through his thigh and a deep crease on his side. Nearby, two more dark shapes lay in the grass, but they were motionless in death.
The rest of them made it back into the trees and took off after shooting it out with us for a few minutes.
Any of our boys hurt?
A few bullet burns, but we can't find Warren.
He's back over there on the other side of the fence. I ran into him when I rode up.
You son of a bitch! What did you do to him?
Take it easy. I had to wallop him. When he wakes up, he'll be fine. Except for a headache.
I reckon we better go have a look at what's left of the fella who cut the wire and set off that dynamite.
Frank's jaw was set tightly as he walked with Dugan and the other men over to the site of the blast. It was bad, all right. About as gruesome as anything Frank had ever seen. And he had fought in the war.
It's Vern Gladwell. Reckon he never knew what hit him.
That's what you hope, anyway.
Gladwell wasn't a bad sort. I didn't want this, dammit. I didn't want anybody to wind up dead. But it was their own choice to come over here and try to cut my fence. Nobody made them do it.
Keep telling yourself that, Dugan.
Ed, go back to the house and get the wagon. We'll put Gladwell and the two wounded men in there.
I don't know that the fellas will want to ride in the same wagon as Gladwell.
Then they can lay out here in the rain all night.
Despite Dugan's protests, Frank could tell that he had been shaken by the sight of Gladwell's mutilated body.
In the morning, I want men out here first thing to replace that post and restring the wire. As for you, Morgan, I want you off the Slash D by the time we get there. I'll send your wages wherever you want them sent.
You don't owe me anything.
The hell I don't. When I fire a man, I give him what he's got coming. You just let me know where to send the money.
Frank didn't bother arguing with him. As bad as the night had been, it could have been worse, he told himself. At least Tyler Beaumont hadn't died. At least Beaumont hadn't died here, Frank amended. But he didn't know what was going on wherever the young ranger was. Al Rawlings had split everyone up and also sent messages to those Brown County ranchers who hadn't attended the meeting at his place the night before. The whole thing was planned with military precision, even though Rawlings had never been in the army. The fences would be cut at approximately 10 o'clock. Beaumont found himself going with Rawlings and a rancher named Thad Briscoe to cut the fences on Calhoun's Diamond C spread.
Right, we'll cut it at every post. It's hard working in those trees and brush. It'll take him a week or more to replace that wire.
What about guards?
We have plenty of time to watch for a while before we do anything. We should be able to tell how often they come by.
The three men had left their horses about a quarter of a mile away, tied to some post oak saplings, and had approached the fence on foot. And here they waited in thick brush, watching and listening. A few minutes later, a rider came along on the other side of the fence. He skirted the trees and moved on. 15 or 20 minutes later, he came back the other way.
We'll wait until he's gone by again, and then we'll get that damn fence cut. Ty, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The question now was whether he could bring himself to go ahead and break the law he was sworn to uphold. The sentry on horseback passed by and moved on out of sight again, his mount's hoofbeats sounding faintly in the damp air.
It's time, kid.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Be quick about it, Ty.
A dull boom, sounding almost like distant thunder, rolled through the night. Beaumont wasn't sure, but he thought he felt the earth tremble a little under his feet.
What the hell was that?
I don't know and I don't care. How about it, Ty? You gonna cut that wire?
No, I'm not. You two step out of that brush and drop your guns. You're covered.
You son of a... I knew you were a double-crosser. I knew it! How much are the cattle barons paying you?
Nobody's paying me but the state of Texas. Now drop your guns and elevate.
What do you mean about the state of Texas?
I'm a ranger. And as of now, fence cutting is over in Brown County.
The hell it is! It's just getting started, Ty! Or whatever your name is.
Tyler Beaumont. I'm not working for the big ranchers or anything like that. In fact, I think what they're doing is wrong. But you can't right that wrong by breaking the law.
The law doesn't give a damn about anybody who doesn't have money and a lot of it. The law's never gonna side with the little fella, and you know it!
That's where you're wrong, and I'll prove it, too. Now back off from those guns. I'm convinced that the boom we just heard was an explosion of some sort.
I'm not sure what it was, but I'm pretty sure I heard gunfire following it. Something happened, that's for sure. And it sounded like it came from the Slash D.
Beaumont wondered if Frank Morgan had been involved with it, whatever it was.
Mount up. We're going back to your place, Al. And you're going to call another meeting. I need to tell everyone that there won't be any more fence cutting.
Might late for that, ain't you, Beaumont? Fences are being cut all over the county right now.
I know it. I should have put a stop to it earlier. I thought maybe if I'd let things play out, Dugan and the others might be willing to bargain.
But then you couldn't do it.
Yeah, the Texas Ranger couldn't bring himself to cut a fence.
Shut up and get on your horses.
As the three men moved toward Rawlings' spread, the rain became more heavy. When they came inside of the house a half hour later, Beaumont knew something was wrong.
Hold up. Something's happened.
Every lamp in the place must be lit.
As they came closer, Tyler saw a lot of riders milling around. Callie Stratton stood on the covered porch, her red hair bright in the light from inside the house. She was talking to a group of men gathered in front of the house.
Al! Al, come quick!
It wasn't until the three newcomers walked into the light that anyone noticed Beaumont's gun pointed toward the unarmed Rawlings and Briscoe.
What the hell's going on here?
We're under arrest, I reckon. Ty's really a Texas Ranger.
A Ranger?
Take it easy. Nobody's under arrest. I just couldn't let any more fences be cut.
How about a fence having a hole blown in it?
Well, there was an explosion. What happened?
Vern and the fellas who went to the Slash D ran into a trap. Dugan had dynamite rigged to the fence. It blew Vern to hell when it went off.
What about the others?
Dugan and some of his crew were lying in wait. As soon as the bomb went off, they opened up on the other fellas. A couple of our boys were hit bad enough they had to be left behind. Don't know if they're dead or not. The others were able to throw some lead back at the Slash D and then light a shuck out of there. Got some creases and bullet burns, but nothing too serious.
This should never have happened. So Vern Gladwell is dead for sure, and two more might be?
What happens now?
Look, I'm going to try to persuade Sheriff Wilmot not to arrest anybody for cutting fences tonight. This needs to be settled in court, not over the barrel of a gun.
The courts will just put us in jail for standing up for ourselves.
No, I intend to testify on your behalf.
Don't do us any favors, Beaumont. Not when you're sitting there holding a gun on us.
I said nobody was under arrest, and I meant it. But this is the only time I'll tell you, men. The fence cutting stops tonight.
You're only one man, Ranger.
There are plenty more where I came from. The governor can send a whole troop of Rangers in here if he needs to.
Ty's right. We can't fight the Rangers.
They bleed like anybody else. Like Chris Kane and Vern Gladwell and everybody else who runs up against those power-hungry range hogs.
Come on inside, Al. All of you, come in out of the rain. We can't do anything else tonight.
Can't do anything for Vern at all.
But he went with his sister, stepping up onto the porch and moving slump-shouldered into the house. The others began to follow them. That left Beaumont sitting there alone in the rain. They had all ignored him as they went inside. He was sure that no matter what he said, the trouble in Brown County wasn't over yet. With rain dripping off the brim of his hat, Beaumont turned his horse and rode toward the little double cabin on Blanket Creek. He didn't have anywhere else to go.
Hold it right there.
Frank? Is that you?
Yeah. Come on in out of the rain.
Why didn't you wait in the cabin?
Well, I hadn't been invited, so it felt a little like trespassing.
Light that lamp, would you, Frank? What are you doing here?
Dugan found out you and me have been working together. He told me to get off his range.
And you didn't have anywhere else to go. I know the feeling.
Thought about riding into Brownwood, but I figured we needed to talk.
About Vern Gladwell, maybe?
So you know about that.
Beaumont slumped into a chair, rested his elbows on the table, and put his hands over his face for a moment. When he lifted his head, his expression was haggard and haunted.
I know about it. So do Rawlings and all the others. I guess the men who made it out of Dugan's trap didn't waste any time spreading the news.
I didn't know what Dugan planned to do.
I know you wouldn't be a party to anything like that, Frank. Why? Why did Dugan do that?
He got tired of Rawlings and the others harassing him. He's always fought back, all his life, whenever anybody threatened him or his range. It's all he knows how to do.
But damn it, things are different now. There's supposed to be law and order.
Maybe civilization hasn't got quite as strong a foothold in Texas as some folks think it does.
Do you know how Dugan found out about what was going to happen tonight?
One of the farmers sold out to him. Don't ask me which one, because Dugan never said. And I doubt that he'd tell either one of us.
Oh, it doesn't matter. The damage is already done.
As he thought about Vern Gladwell, Frank could only nod.
One of Dugan's punchers has been trailing you. He saw the two of us meeting at the cave. That's what tipped off Dugan that I was working with you. They slipped off and left me at the ranch tonight when they went to set their trap. I didn't find out about it in time to stop them.
What was it? Dynamite?
Several sticks tied together with a friction trigger rigged between them and the barbed wire. I'm not sure Dugan intended to kill anybody. If Gladwell hadn't happened to be standing almost on top of the dynamite when he cut the wire, the blast might not have gotten him.
But Dugan didn't stop him when he saw what was about to happen, did he?
No, he sure didn't.
Some folks would call that murder.
You'd never get a jury to say that.
No, but a jury would send Chris Kane back to prison based only on the word of a crazy gunman like Skeet Harlan.
No argument there.
Rawlins wanted to distract Dugan and the other cattle barons from Kane's case, as well as maybe convincing them to stop fighting. But it's just gonna make everything worse, isn't it? If that's even possible.
It's always possible for things to get worse. Maybe it had to come to this all along. The feelings are just too high on both sides for anybody to be able to head off trouble.
So now what does it come down to? Guns and more killing?
That's usually what it comes down to.
And what do we do? Which side are we on in this fight, Frank?
The Drifter shook his head. He had no answer for the young ranger.
After we get a bit of breakfast in the morning, I'd like to ride into Brownwood and pay a visit to Sheriff Wilmot.
He'll know about Gladwell's death by then.
But he might not know who I really am yet.
Frank saw right away that there was no surprise on the sheriff's weathered face when he and Beaumont came into Wilmot's office. Wilmot just looked up from his desk and grunted.
Heard tell you was a ranger. Might have been nice if you'd let a fellow star packer in on that, mister.
My orders were to investigate the trouble here and do whatever I could to keep it from getting worse, Sheriff. I thought I stood a better chance of accomplishing that by working undercover.
Well, from the looks of what happened last night, you were wrong, weren't you? I was over at the undertaking parlor a little while ago looking at what's left of Vern Gladwell. Pitts has got his work cut out for him with that one.
I'm sorry about Gladwell. I didn't know what Dugan was planning to do.
How about you, gunfighter? Were you in on it?
No. In fact, Dugan fired me last night. Found out that Beaumont and I are old friends.
And the two of you been working together all along? A gunslinger and a ranger?
Like I said, Beaumont and I have ridden together before.
Well, Mr. Ranger, what do we do now?
Beaumont didn't answer the question directly.
How's Chris Kane this morning?
Still getting better. He could probably stand trial in a few days.
His lawyer should be here today. I'm sure he'll request an immediate change of venue.
Lawyer? What lawyer?
The one who's coming down from Dallas to represent him.
I ain't heard nothing about that, and it's none of my affair. I just keep the prisoner locked up until somebody tells me different.
In the meantime, keep a good guard on Kane. Make sure nothing happens to him.
Don't tell me how to run my jail, Morgan! I never lost a prisoner yet to a lynch mob or to friends who tried to break him out, and I don't intend to start now.
I didn't mean to do that, Sheriff. You have my apology.
I don't expect anybody on either side is worried over much about Kane anymore, though. Not after what happened last night.
You're probably right about that. What happened out at the Slash D probably pushes all that into the background.
Frank knew what the young ranger meant. Rawlings and the others had nearly gone to war over what had happened to Chris Kane. How far would they go to settle the score for Vern Gladwell? Ace McElvey was waiting for Annie when she stepped into the building through the rear door. He reached out and took her arm.
Oh!
You just got back from the jail?
Oh, that's right, Ace. You told me it was all right for me to go over there and see Chris.
I don't care what you do at this time of day, as long as you work your shift at night.
I will, Ace, I promise. You know I wouldn't let you down.
Yeah, I know. How's Kane?
He's getting stronger every day. I think he's gonna be all right.
Too bad he's gonna wind up back in prison.
Maybe he won't go to prison. I heard over at the jail he's got a lawyer who's going to get him a... a change of venture or something.
Change of venue?
Yeah, that's it.
Where'd a range tramp like Kane get the money to hire a lawyer?
I don't know, but I was passing by the sheriff's office and I saw that gunslinger, Mr. Morgan, in there talking to the sheriff. He's the one who said something about the lawyer, and I heard something else, Ace.
What's that?
That fella called Ty. He's really a Texas Ranger.
McElvey had already heard rumors that Ty was a lawman. Now Annie had confirmed it.
So Morgan and this ranger were together, huh?
That's right. They were talking to the sheriff, arguing almost.
I see.
I ought to go get changed for my shift now, Mr. McElvey. Ace.
Of course, my dear.
McElvey rubbed his jaw. That wasn't good news. He and his associates would have to move quickly now. Now that the ranger was working out in the open, he might send for reinforcements. They had to strike before that could happen. Luckily, the death of Vern Gladwell might be just what they needed to tip the balance into open warfare at last. The dynamite blast that had claimed Gladwell's life was nothing more than a firecracker compared to the explosion that was about to rock Brown County. Keith Harlan tensed when he stepped into McElvey's office late that night and found Flint Coburn already there. Though they were working together, there was an innate wariness and dislike between the two men, the same sort of animosity that was instinctive among men who made their living from the speed of their gun hand and the sureness of their aim.
What are you doing here, Coburn?
He sent for me, just like I imagine he sent for you, Harlan.
That's right. I thought it was time we all got together and hashed out our plans. We don't have much time anymore, not with the Rangers taking an interest in what's going on around here.
Only one Ranger so far, and he's no threat. I can handle him.
So can I.
Take it easy, boys. It's not a contest. Remember what we're in this for. Brownwood is a plum ripe for the picking.
Harlan and Coburn both nodded in agreement, but they still eyed each other.
Now, the death of Vern Gladwell the other night is the talk of the county, and everybody seems to be taking sides on it.
I just left the jail. Dugan and his men brought in the other two men who were wounded in the fracas. Dugan is insisting they be locked up in jail like Chris Kane.
Yes. I heard that Doc Yantis treated their injuries at the jail and pronounced that they would live.
Yep.
And here's what we're going to do. All the big spreads have started their roundups. They'll be done in a few days, and they'll haze all the stock they're selling over to the pens at Zephyr. They'll start shipping out on Monday, but the pens will be full by Sunday. Rawlings, some of his men, backed by some of your gun throwers, Flint, will hit those pens and stampede the herds. Wipe out as many of the cattle barons and their men as you can.
I like it.
And once that's done, your men will have their orders to turn on Rawlings' bunch and cut them down too. Have them make sure especially that Rawlings doesn't survive the fight.
That one will be my pleasure.
At the same time, the rest of the small ranchers will ride into town to bust Kane and the other two out of jail and set fire to the town. While that's going on, you and your gang will hit the banks and the other businesses that have plenty of cash on hand. It's possible you may ride out of here with as much as $500,000.
Damnation!
That is some serious money, Mr. McElvey.
Well, the law will be too busy defending the jail to put up a fight, and the townsfolk will be fighting the fire. The big ranchers will have their own problems over at Zephyr, so they won't be able to ride to the rescue. We'll loot the whole town before we're through. Including this saloon, of course.
Otherwise, folks will suspect you had something to do with it if you're left alone.
That's right. I'm not worried since I'll get back whatever I lose, plus a lot more. I just hope your boys won't shoot the place up too badly, Flint.
I'll tell them not to.
No. You and Skeet are the only ones who know that I'm part of this affair. I'd like to keep it that way.
So you can go on living here when it's all over.
That's right.
What do you get out of it, McElvey? The town will be left in shambles if everything goes according to plan.
People will have to rebuild. I'll have the money to help them. But when I call in the notes, the whole town will pretty much belong to me.
That's a pretty sweet plan, McElvey.
There's more, my good deputy.
With you, Mr. McElvey, I get the impression that there's always more.
Mr. Coburn's gunmen will see to it that many of the ranchers are killed in the fighting, which will leave their spreads up for grabs. By the time another year passes, I'll control the town, and I'll be the biggest rancher in the county.
So finally it all comes down to this Sunday.
Right you are. I still got one major worry.
What's that?
What about Frank Morgan?
Don't worry about Morgan. I've seen how fast he is. That's why I had those two men brace him. It would have been nice if they could have killed him, but since they didn't, I'll deal with him.
You can beat him if you have to?
I'll beat him whether I have to or not, just because I can.
Really think you're faster than the Drifter, Coburn?
I know I am. What's the matter? You want a shot at him too?
That's all right. I'll take care of him after he's killed you.
Must we constantly have these little contests? Both of you stop it. You're about to be rich men. I suggest you start acting like it.
One of these days, Deputy.
Yeah, one of these days.
But not before Sunday, remember that.
It wasn't likely any of them would forget. If everything went as planned, the coming Sunday in Brown County would be a red Sabbath indeed.
More coffee, Frank?
No, thanks. I'm about ready to burst. Thanks for dinner.
Thanks for the company. I never expected things to stay quiet for this long. I thought Rollins would make a move before now.
He's probably planning something. He's too hot-headed to let things rest for too long.
Well, tomorrow's Sunday. I hope he respects the Sabbath.
I'm not sure Rollins respects anything.
Sure he does. His sister Callie.
Well, on that one subject, he and I agree.
Maybe it's time for me to wire Austin and ask for some help up here. This is too big a job for me, Frank.
Maybe we just need to dig a little deeper. I thought all along that somebody was working behind the scenes to keep all the trouble stirred up around here.
You got any idea who it might be?
Ace McElvey.
The saloon keeper? How would it benefit him to cause trouble between the big ranchers and the smaller ones?
I haven't figured that out yet. Maybe I should pay him a visit, see what I can find out.
Might be worth a little time and effort. You want me to come with you?
You stay here. McElvey knows you're a ranger. He won't be about to let anything slip in front of you.
He's bound to know that you and I have been working together, too. If he's up to no good, he won't trust you.
That's true, but I got that reputation as a gunman. I've never been able to live it down, so I might as well try to get some use out of it.
Whatever you say, just be careful, Frank.
I intend to be. I don't trust McElvey any further than he probably trusts me. Funny thing, though, sometimes the crookedest hombre is the one who's easiest to fool.